Wake-Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're continuing our preview of the AFC South, and today's team is the Tennessee Titans. As you know, I live in Nashville. I've been living here for 10 years. And as I said earlier this morning, I don't get to get out much in the afternoon. And one day I was at an appointment. I was driving around, and I stumbled on one of the local radio stations here in town and heard Caroline Fenton on the game here in Nashville. Very, very good sports station and a very, very good sports host. Caroline joins us to talk about the Titans on our Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. How are you, Caroline? Thanks for joining us.
Doing great, and thank you so much for those kind words. I'm glad you could catch us from 2 to 6 one of those days.
I'm going to try to do it more as I get out and about here in southern Nashville, because you are outstanding. Let's get to the big picture on this Titans team, because we've been doing these previews, and every time we stumble upon an AFC team that's got, you know, obviously playoff potential and Super Bowl potential, we always kind of go, all right, but this is now a loaded conference. Where exactly are they? Here's a team that had the number one seed in the AFC but lost early in the postseason. Gone is their number one wide receiver. They don't have a quarterback that's on the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes level, if that matters. Therefore, where do you see the Titans in this very stacked conference, despite their number one seed last year?
Yeah, well, you know, you say Ryan Tannehill is not a Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes type talent, and you're completely correct. And that's not really what the Titans need Ryan Tannehill to be. They've never asked Ryan Tannehill to kind of make those risky throws or make those deep balls. That's not the kind of quarterback Ryan Tannehill is, and that's not the kind of offense that the Tennessee Titans run. Because when you have Derrick Henry that can run the ball, that's exactly what you do, is you run the ball. And, you know, you look at the Titans offense that really struggled last year, and you say, well, the Titans got the number one seed in the AFC. And it's because they were able to win some of those games that, honestly, they really had no business winning. You look at a win at home against the Bills. You look at a win against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. You look at a win on the road on Sunday Night Football against Los Angeles Rams. The Titans were able to kind of pull wins out that really kind of ascended them to the top of the AFC. And they were able to do that even without Derrick Henry for half of the season. So you get Derrick Henry back this season. And then that brings up another question of, can Derrick Henry be what he was? You know, he's 28 years old. Once you look at the history of running backs, that's really where you start to see a steep decline in production. So can Derrick Henry continue to be Derrick Henry, even coming off of that foot injury? That's one of the big questions. Can Ryan Tannehill take care of the football? It's something that he did not do very well last year. Just look at the Bengals game alone. 3 interceptions in a playoff game when the Titans defense had 9 sacks. And if you look at that stat line alone of 9 sacks, you'd think, oh my gosh, overwhelmingly that team won. But when you turn the ball over 3 times at the hands of your quarterback, that's a really easy way to lose a game. So, you know, I look at the AFC South. You call it a stacked conference. I don't know if I really do, honestly. I think I look at the AFC South more so as a 2-horse race between the Titans and the Indianapolis Colts. You know, the Indianapolis Colts, of course, upgrading at quarterback in Matt Ryan. Jonathan Taylor really made a name for himself last season. So that's exactly how I'm going to look at the AFC South, is the Titans and the Colts. And it really comes down to those 2 head-to-head games and also the out-of-conference games. Because the Titans are playing the AFC South is playing the AFC North this year. So when the Indianapolis Colts get Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings, well, the Titans get Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. In the AFC East, when the Indianapolis Colts get Mac Jones and this Patriots team with a questionable offense of who's calling those plays, the Titans get Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. And when the Indianapolis Colts get Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky or whoever is going to be QB1 for the Steelers, the Titans also get a really difficult draw in that division as well. So I view this as a 2-horse race, and I also view the difficulty of schedule for the Titans as kind of being a disadvantage for this Titans team. But what we've seen so far in training camp is Ryan Tannehill's been taking care of the football. We've seen Derrick Henry look good in the running back drills that he does contribute in. And we've seen Treylon Burks, the rookie wide receiver, and also Robert Woods, who the Titans acquired from the Los Angeles Rams, really kind of make a name for themselves in this passing game and look good. Treylon Burks has had a rocky start in his beginning of his career with the Tennessee Titans, not being able to stay in shape. He wasn't able to finish his first practice at rookie minicamp, so those were all questions. He's looked better. He's looked in better condition. Robert Woods has really played a large leadership role on this team as well. So, you know, you trade out A.J. Brown. Can Robert Woods and Treylon Burks make up for that production that you lose in trading A.J. Brown? I don't know, and those are the biggest question marks. Is, can Tannehill take care of the football? Can Derrick Henry run the ball? And can Treylon Burks and Robert Woods make up for A.J. Brown's loss?
Yeah, I want to get to that, because draft night was a bit of a shock when A.J. Brown goes off to Philadelphia in the trade, and the Treylon Burks matching sort of like, all right, he's kind of a similar type of player. This is an economic move because, again, you don't want to, you're not in the position, they're not in the position to pay what Philadelphia was paying, move him along, bring in a guy, but that does leave you a lot of question marks. With the Titans passing game, you mentioned Robert Woods is coming off the ACL injury and a young, in the end, where do you see the passing game? If this is going to be something they have to have at a certain level, where is it?
Well, Robert Woods is coming off of the ACL injury. And when the Titans acquired him, honestly, I really thought, okay, October is probably the earliest that you're going to be able to see Robert Woods at 100%. He tore that ACL in November of this past season. I've been watching Robert Woods nearly every day for the past month in training camp. That ACL doesn't look like it's going to be a problem. I've seen him in so many wide receiver drills where it's tight cuts and he's cutting off of that knee and kind of making those turns that he really has to push on that outside of that knee. He looks fine. And with Treylon Burks, you know, there were so many question marks about his conditioning and, you know, was that the right move to make? And then the first day of training camp, he goes up and makes this unbelievable catch and a deep ball from Ryan Tannehill. So I think that kind of shut up a lot of people who had some questions about him. But, I mean, I think those two, I think they will be a fine pair because Ryan Tannehill is not known for the deep ball anyway. I think the most underrated part of this Titans passing game, or the most underrated offseason acquisition in the Titans passing game, is Austin Hooper. If you look at Tannehill and Jonnu Smith, the Titans tight end in 2020, if you look at that connection, I mean, Jonnu Smith was used a lot in the passing game. Because like I said, Ryan Tannehill, he's not a deep ball thrower, but he feels really comfortable passing in those short yardage situations. And I think that having, you know, a really certified passing attack weapon in Austin Hooper and adding Chigga Conquo, the Titans' third-round draft pick out of Maryland, the tight end, having those two certified passing game weapons in those short yardage situations, I think that's going to be really, really key in this passing game, along with Robert Woods and Treylon Burks, and also Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who's been kind of, you know, he was an undrafted free agent that the Titans acquired, and he's been kind of their Swiss Army knife wide receiver. He's able to play outside. He's able to play in the slot. He's really able to play wherever the Titans need him. So he's also another little secret weapon in this Titans offense as well, in the passing game.
Let's go to the defensive side of it. And boy, I tell you, when they drafted Jeffrey Simmons, I have friends all over the country. They're like, the guy's hurt. Why did they draft him? And I said, wait. I know you're not following the SEC and you're not following this kid. When he's healthy, he's going to be fantastic. This is an anchored defense by him. They are well, well coached on that side of the ball. Any additions to that defense or anything else about the 2022 version that we've seen in the past?
Yeah, so there was an addition made in 2021 that the Titans didn't necessarily reap the benefits of, and that was Caleb Farley, their first-round pick in the 2021 draft. Another player that they drafted that was injured on the defensive side of the ball, Caleb Farley, out of Virginia Tech, was dealing with a spinal surgery. So he came in and was kind of slow coming into his career with the Titans in recovery, and then once he was able to get on the field, he tore his ACL on a Monday night against the Buffalo Bills, so he was out for the rest of the season. So we didn't really see a lot from Caleb Farley in his rookie season, but he's coming into 2022, fully healthy. He looks pretty good in training camp. He was good in the preseason game against the Baltimore Ravens. So being able to reap the benefits off of their 2021 draft pick finally, I think, is going to be good for this Titans backfield. And also, the Titans second-round pick in Roger McCreary out of Auburn, I mean, this kid is special. The biggest knock on him was that he's short or has small arms. And I talked to a person who covers Auburn, and I asked him, like, hey, what's up with this Roger McCreary guy? You know, I haven't heard much about him. And he said he really is the steal of the draft, getting him in the second round, because he has those short arms, but he said he plays bigger than his body. And I never really truly understood what that person meant by that. until I watched Roger McCreary in training camp, because it is 100% true. I mean, he is an issue for wide receivers, and he is constantly breaking up passes. He is a ball hawk. Wherever the ball is, Roger McCreary is too. So I think those two in the defensive backfield are going to be great additions for the Tennessee Titans team. But like you said, the defensive strengths lie in that front four. Jeffrey Simmons, Bud Dupree, DeNico Autry, Harold Landry, those four really won the Titans a lot of games last season. And I think it was that front four and Derrick Henry who got the Titans that number one seed.
And I think for a lot of this is, again, we go back to this team as there are a lot of funner teams. I get it. But this is a team that is so built in the trenches and is well coached by a guy that's like, look, we're running the ball and we are going to beat you defensively. Is this formula sustainable? Is this something, again, that you can see down the road as something that lasts, or does it have to get a little more dynamic?
See, that's the golden question. And I think that Mike Vrabel, the Tennessee Titans head coach, is asking himself that. Because that's what we've all been asking ourselves about Derrick Henry. Is his production sustainable? And so far, it's proved to be yes. You know, over the past couple of years, since 2019, Derrick Henry's gotten 300-plus touches a season. That is absolutely astronomical, but it works. So kind of my philosophy with running the ball is, hey, run it until you can't run it anymore. Because if you've got a Ferrari, that thing's not sitting in the garage. You're running it. And that's exactly what the Titans have in the run game, and Derrick Henry is a Ferrari. So do I think it's sustainable? That's the question. Do I think that you can win a Super Bowl this way? I probably wouldn't bet on it. Yeah. I think that's the biggest knock maybe on the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson is you can't win a Super Bowl with a mobile quarterback and with a quarterback that consistently runs the ball or relies on his legs more than his arm. And I think that also kind of applies with the Titans. Can Ryan Tannehill and this Titans team beat Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl? Honestly, that's going to be really difficult when you have three quarterbacks that can drop back and throw the ball down the field 30, 40, 50 yards.
Hey, I think that's a good point, because I think a lot of fans are kind of spoiled by that divisional game with the Bills and the Chiefs. Like, this is now what it's going to be like in the AFC.
Right.
That's not necessary. That if the Titans are in that game, maybe it doesn't come down. The scenario doesn't come down to something like that. But if it did come to something like that, they're not going to be able to do what Buffalo and Kansas City did in that final 2 minutes.
Exactly. But also to that point, the Titans beat the Bills and
sure
the
did.
Chiefs last season. They beat the Bills and the Chiefs the season before. So, you know, it's tough for me to stand up here and say that they can't do it, because they prove time after time that they can. But in playoff situations, when the stakes are higher, when it's win or go home, are they going to be able to handle the pressure, or is Ryan Tannehill going to be able to handle the pressure of having to sit in the pocket and throw the ball downfield? Because that's the only way that you're going to beat the Bills or the Chiefs or the Chargers or the Bengals or whoever that they might be facing in the playoffs. And I don't know the answer to that question. I would lean no, but the Titans have proven me wrong so many times in the past.
Caroline Fenton, the game in Nashville, fantastic stuff. Great, great stuff. And really good. Congratulations on your success. You're a rising star. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good day.
You too. Caroline Fenton of the Game of Nashville on our Titans preview will continue. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.